Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the Book of Romans. Hey there, faithful listener. This is Jen with the Bible Explained podcast. Today we are going to be in the Book of Romans, because as you guys know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I do an episode out of the New Testament. And since today is Tuesday, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 2. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit of what we read on Thursday. So I'll be starting today in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, and then moving directly into Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, because these two chapters really tie together. And the topic for today is judging wrong. And also, we're going to be talking about people who do not live the way they preach. So let's go ahead and grab our Bibles and also our cups of coffee or tea, whatever your little heart desires, though coffee is always better. And let's go ahead and enjoy the reading of God's word together. Even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil habits, secret slanderers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. We know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think this, O man who judges those who practice such things and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But according to your hardness and unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath, revelation, and of the righteous judgment of God, who will pay back to everyone according to their works. To those who persevere in well-doing, seek for glory, honor, and incorruptibility, eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and don't obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, will be wrath, indignation, oppression, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace go to every man who does good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. So as we talked about on Thursday, Paul laid it into the people of his time period who were practicing all sorts of sexual deviancies, and not just sexual deviancies, but all sorts of terrible things. And he's saying, look, if you do these things and you do them blatantly without caring that God exists, purposefully pushing away your knowledge of God to practice these evil things, then you will never inherit God's kingdom. You cannot. And that was what we talked about on Thursday, and we read a little bit of it today. And we'll get into those more in a second. But in Romans chapter 2, Paul is basically like, and for those of you who think that you are so moral and so good, and you're judging all of these people who are doing all of these things, you are no better, and here is why. So not only does Paul lay it into the people who are outwardly doing these things, not even trying to cover them up, and also applauding other people who are doing the same things as them. Not only does he lay it into them, but he's also laying it into the people who do these things in their heart, but yet think they are so good. And if you were reading this back in the days of Paul, say you were one of the members of the Roman church, you would be reading this as if Romans 1 was talking about Gentiles and Romans 2 was talking about the Jews. So let's get into this, verse 1 of Romans 2. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Now, it's very important to read this verse in the context that it is written in. Because if you just read it very quickly, you might be like, oh, Paul is saying that judging is a sin. But that is not what Paul is saying. Paul is not condemning a person for judging another person, but he's condemning a person for judging someone else when they do the exact same things. Because think about what a judgment is. A judgment is when you place a penalty on another person based upon their behaviors or based upon the way they look or something like that. You are penalizing them for something they have done. And that is why scripture talks about being very, very careful when you lay down a judgment on somebody. Because if you penalize somebody else for a specific behavior, then why shouldn't God penalize you for that same exact behavior? That's why Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, the very first verse, says, judge not unless you want to be judged. It never says that judging in and of itself is a sin. In fact, there are specific times in scripture when we are supposed to judge. For example, we are supposed to be judging our church. So for those of us who are Christians that go to a church, we are to be very careful of who we allow in our church. We are supposed to be judging their behaviors, judging what they're preaching, and judging especially what they are teaching others to do. So it is important to have judgment. And if judging were a sin, then it would be wrong for us to judge in every single circumstance, right? But judging in and of itself is not a sin. But if you do it in a hypocritical way, like Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 2, where you're laying down a judgment on somebody else, you're penalizing somebody else for doing something, and yet in your heart, you're doing that exact same thing, you are no better than that other person. And why shouldn't God judge you the exact same way that you're judging this other person? Paul says, you guys who are judging practice the exact same things that I just laid out in the last chapter. Let's see what those things are again. They practice unrighteousness. They practice sexual immorality. We know that in your heart, it is wrong to even lust after another person. That's another thing Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, that it's wrong to even look at another person with lust because you're committing adultery with them in your heart. So lusting is the same as committing adultery. And I know that there are many, many people who struggle with that particular sin. And Paul is saying, look, those of you who struggle with lust are committing sexual immorality in your heart. And that's not just men that struggle with that sin. There are many, many women that also struggle with that same exact sin. And actually, I've never really talked about this on the podcast before, but I'm going to bring it up right here. As women, we need to be very, very careful with what we wear. Because two things can be true at the exact same time. You can be a victim of somebody lusting after you while also inviting that lust. For example, if you go to a really sketchy gas station, I have one near me, which is why I use this example. If you go to a really sketchy gas station and you go in there and you have all these like $100 bills and you aren't hiding them, in fact, you're kind of like showing them off and like flashing them everywhere and just sort of being weird in this sketchy gas station. If somebody were to rob you, you would be both the victim and also in a way inviting that robbery to happen to you because you were not concealing what you had. And for me, when I walk into this gas station, if I have to, which I try to never walk into that gas station, but if I have to on occasion, I am standing as straight as I possibly can. I am watching my surroundings and I am in and out as fast as I can possibly be because that is how you keep yourself safe, especially if you are a woman. So two things can be true at the same time. You can be acting foolishly and also be a victim. And that is why women need to dress modestly, because it is actually foolish for you to go out in super revealing clothing, because not only are you inviting unwanted attention, but you are also potentially causing somebody to sin by lusting after you. And like I said, it is not just men who is going to lust after you. It might be women. It might even be children. So you need to be very, very careful with how you are dressing as a Christian woman. Okay, moving forward in Romans 1 verse 29. Here's other ways how people are sinning in their hearts, yet judging people who are doing these things outwardly. Not only do they have sexual immorality in their heart, but they also have wickedness, covetousness. Covetousness means envy to the point of wanting to take something from somebody and even potentially trying to steal it from somebody, as well as malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and evil habits. All of these remind me, we've been studying King Saul in the Old Testament. All of these remind me of King Saul, because Saul was a type of person who had all of these qualities. He had so much envy against David. He had murder in his heart. In fact, he tried to actually murder David multiple times. He had strife in his heart, you know, just anger, this deceit. He was deceiving himself into thinking that David was the enemy. And then evil habits, of course. He had the habit of going and pursuing David. Even when he apologized, he would just get back at it just a couple chapters later and try to pursue and kill David again. All of these things remind me of King Saul. And Saul was allowing his emotions to guide him. He was allowing his emotions to take over. Moving forward, secret slanderers, so gossipers and people who are lying about people behind their back. Backbiters. Actually, I'm not sure what the difference is between slanderers and backbiters. Maybe one is talking more about gossip and the other one is talking more about lies behind someone's back. Hateful to God. Now, how would a Jewish person be hateful to God in their heart? Because they worshiped God, they worshiped Yahweh. Paul is arguing that the reason the Jewish people hate God is because they reject Jesus, who is God's one and only son. And if they reject God's only son, then they are actually rejecting God himself. Because what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the only way someone can really get to the Father and accept the Father is through Jesus. Continuing on. They are also arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. I really like that one, because how common is that nowadays? I mean, it's always been very common, but it seems like children and youth nowadays just need to rebel. They need to go against every single thing that their parents say, but that is actually against God. And yes, in some ways, children do have to get out on their own and they have to make their own lives. And I understand that. But while they are inside the home, any of you teenagers listening to this episode right now, you need to be honoring and respecting your parents. And then to finish this verse up, without understanding, covenant breakers, what's that mean? That is a promise breaker. So if you make a promise to somebody and you break it, that is against God. You keep those promises. Just as you keep vows to God. If you make a vow, you are supposed to keep it. If you make a promise to somebody else, you are supposed to keep that promise as closely as you possibly can in your own power. Okay, moving on. Without natural affection, unforgiving, and unmerciful. All three of those last ones kind of tie together. Someone who is without affection is someone who doesn't care about the plight of other people. So naturally, they're going to be unforgiving if those people hurt them, and they'll be unmerciful if anything bad happens to those people. And so Paul is saying that even though the Gentiles do all of these things very out in the open, the person who is doing these things in their heart is absolutely no better. Even if they look like a very moral person on the outside, if they are doing any one of these things, if they are being arrogant, if they are being boastful, if they are being unforgiving, if they are being unmerciful, if they aren't obeying their parents, these people aren't being any better. Romans chapter 2, verse 2 says, "We know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice these things." Do you think, you who judges those who practice these things, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and patience, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? What does that mean? Paul is saying, if you keep doing these things, you are despising God's goodness, also his forbearance, meaning his long suffering, right? Long suffering means to suffer for a very long time. Well, I don't have the gift of long suffering, unfortunately. It is one of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm still waiting for that particular gift to come my way. But long suffering means to suffer with something for a long time and to do it well. And that is what God does with each one of us. He is looking at us and he is suffering when he sees us doing these things. But he continues suffering because he loves us very much. And he's also very patient with us. So when we fail, he gives us grace and mercy every single time. So Paul is saying, if you keep doing these things, even in your heart, even if it doesn't look like you're doing these things on the outward appearance, you are despising God's gifts to you, the gift of goodness, patience, and long-suffering towards you. Verse 5, but according to your hardness and unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath, revelation, and of the righteous judgment of God, who will pay back to everyone according to their works. That's a very scary verse. We have to be thinking all the time. We have to be constantly analyzing ourselves. There's a verse that David wrote in the Psalms that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Bring out anything in me that is offensive towards you and show me which way to go. And that is my paraphrase because I can't remember exactly the wordage. But what David is saying in that Psalm is that he wants God to analyze his heart and to show him all of this wickedness that he has in his heart so that he can confess it, repent, and go back onto the right path once again. There's another verse in 2 Corinthians 10, which is verse 5, that says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So self-analyzation is insanely, insanely important if we are going to be healthy Christians, if we are going to be Christians who truly are following Christ the way that God commands us to follow Christ. Now, concluding in verses 7 through 11, Paul talks about people who believe in Christ and really try to live in the way that honors Christ. They will receive in the end glory, honor, and incorruptibility as well as eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking, to those who don't obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they will be given wrath, indignation, oppression, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that is very, very clear. For those who refuse to believe in God in their hearts, even if they look moral on the outside, their heart is still filled with all of this corruption because they refuse to believe in the truth of God. And in the end, they will not receive a reward. In fact, they will receive a condemnation to the Jew first and also to the Greek, meaning that it doesn't matter who you were born to. It does not matter what your lineage is. It says in verse 11, there is no partiality with God. God does not love one person more than another person. In fact, I was just reading the other night with my study group, the book of Micah, I think it was. Let me get there, actually, because there was a really, really interesting verse that caught my attention. Let me find it real quick. Oh, no, it wasn't Micah. It was actually Amos. I'm sorry. Amos chapter 9, verse 7. And this is God speaking to the Israelites. Here's what he says to them. Are not you Israelites the same to me as the Cushites, declares the Lord? Did I not bring Israel up from Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Armenians from Kir? I thought that verse was so cool because it's showing, this is Old Testament, God is showing that he has no partiality. He doesn't love the Israelites more just because they are Israelites. He loves everybody the same. He says, actually, you Israelites, yes, I brought you up out of Egypt, but don't think you are special because of that, because I also brought the Philistines out from their captivity. And I also brought the Armenians up from Kir. I love everybody equally. And that is what Paul concludes with here in verse 11 of Romans 2. God shows no partiality. So for everybody who rejects the truth of God, whether they are doing it outwardly or inwardly, they will receive condemnation. But, verse 10, glory, honor, and peace will go to every man who does good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And how do we do good? We believe in the truth of God, we follow him, and we do what he says to do. All right, guys, this was a lot to unpack, both for you and for me. So I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day, and I'll see you all tomorrow for an episode from 1 Samuel. Happy listening, and God bless.